Every year during this time, we have the experience of getting up out of a nice cozy bed and take a nice hot shower, have a good hot meal, and then we walk out of our nice warm house into these freezing cold temperatures. It's almost like a car driving into a wall. It's that shocking. It shocks us awake. And that's what today's readings really will do for some of us. You know, shock us awake. Help us to think about those end times. Every time in ordinary time, as that season draws to a close and we get ready to go into Advent, the church presents these readings at the end of the Gospels before the Lord's Passion, as he was trying to get his own followers ready to be prepared for his return or for their own deaths when they would meet Jesus for the first time. He says, in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from the sky and the powers in the heavens will be shaking. But are these readings really meant to shock us and scare us, or are they meant to really console us? That's the question. And when this gospel was written way back in the second century, the early Christians were really, really having a hard time. They were very faithful, they were living out their faith, but Christianity became illegal under the Roman Empire, under that jurisdiction during certain periods during those years. And you could get in a lot of trouble if you were practicing your faith. In fact, if they caught you doing that, you'd be arrested and you could be killed. At that time, if you wanted to go to Mass, you actually had to go probably Saturday evening or Sunday evening into the cemetery, into the catacombs, where the priest or the bishop would come out and have Mass there in secret, much like the Catholics had to do when you think about the last 100 years, you know, in the communist countries where practicing your Christian faith was illegal, they had to do the same things. You know, it's amazing when I talk to our elderly in the nursing homes at times. This past year, I was talking with a woman who was in her late 90s, but she still had her wits about her, and she was talking about her past and what it was like growing up under a communist regime. She was raised in Eastern Europe, in Czechoslovakia, when the communists came in and took over, which was a very Catholic country. So all these Catholics had to practice their faith when she was a little girl, and she persisted in doing that, even though it was now illegal in her country. And she was arrested for that. She spent years in prison. Finally, they let her out, and then they kicked her out of her own country for simply practicing her faith. And she remembers all the suffering that came with that persecution. What got her through that was her prayer, which gave her a sense of hope that God would provide better days ahead. I also buried a person last week who grew up in Belgium. She's in her 90s too, and she just went home to the Lord. But she had a very hard teenage years in Belgium. It was very difficult for her because even though she had a happy, faithful family and living out her Catholic faith, when she grew up in Belgium and when she was a young teenager, the Nazis invaded and took over her country. And anyone who put God over the Nazi regime at the time, you could be arrested, just like the Jews were. Well, they were persecuted too. You know, and so living out her faith was very difficult, and they were in a constant state of fear, as she was, as they owned a hotel, and oftentimes the German soldiers or the Nazis would come in, and she would have to serve them, you know. But in secret, she practiced that faith to give her a sense of hope in those dark times. It seemed for many of them, especially these two ladies, that their world, just like the early Christians, was always under that threat of ending, that death was always near. And so reading the gospel, practicing their faith, just like the early Christians did, brought them that comfort in their suffering. Oftentimes, early Christians would say, "So be it. Come, Lord Jesus, deliver us from this evil and oppression." I'm sure we're all thankful today that we're not undergoing a similar persecution for our faith today and that we have that religious freedom in this country. But that may change someday. Who knows? And so how can we relate to these readings right here and now? And although as Catholics, we're not persecuted outright, we still can suffer in many personal ways as those under persecution in the past often did. Obviously, they dealt with some depression, some anxiety, the effects of war and poverty, sickness, addictions to try and cope, or loneliness as they saw those around them get arrested or killed. And thus, we, like the early Christians, need that hope, too, that the readings provide for a better future, especially if we're carrying a heavy cross at this time in our lives. And so what do we do to keep that grace of faith and hope and trust alive in our hearts? Well, we have to do exactly what the early Christians did in those circumstances, and that is pray. Pray every day. Come to the Eucharist as we're doing today so that the Lord can heal and strengthen us. And also go to the scriptures themselves like we hear today, which should give us that message of hope. You know, it's interesting when I go home for the holidays and on my day off, you know, many of you know I have nieces and nephews. I still have some young ones, a little nephew that's, or niece that's about 2 years old at this time. And she's has older brothers and sisters, but she's still dealing with things that emotionally that kids that age deal with. And one of the struggles that my sister's having at this time is, you know, now that some of her older kids are getting older and they can kind of take care of themselves a little bit, they like to go out. They're trying to rekindle their dating, their love life, and so they try and have date night and go out here and there, and they bring in a babysitter. And she said, you know, it's really getting difficult with this one, your youngest niece, she says to me, because every time we leave, she just goes into this fit, like we're never, ever coming back. And she has no sense of what hope is at all. She thinks we're leaving her. That's it, you know. And so she's screaming in terror. And no matter what they can do to calm her down, she knows that her parents are going to walk out that door, you know. She doesn't understand yet that they're going to come back in just a few hours. But she says it's amazing. It's such a drama and a trauma for her when we go out for a couple hours, my husband and I. But when we come back, there's such a joy. You know, even if she's sleeping, you know, she'll wake up and start jumping up and down, you know, because she's so happy that her parents have come back. And so I reminded my sister, well, you know, you're teaching her in that sense. When you come back and she's overjoyed and exciting, she's going to nurture that grace of hope in her heart. And the Lord will help her with that. But it's this kind of hope and comfort that the scriptures really want to leave us with today. Not a fear, not of anxiety. It's a longing, like children, for their Savior's return. And if we don't have that hope in our lives, then we, you know, have to challenge ourselves a little bit and ask ourselves why. You know, perhaps, you know, my relationship with the Lord has been neglected, or my house is not in order for some reason. Spiritual house. And so let us today ask the Lord to help us to always be prepared and full of hope for the day that we shall meet our Savior, Christ Jesus.